Thank you, Andrew and Jacinda. Aren't we blessed to have so many folks who are gifted in the area of music and leading and singing musicians? So we're thankful for all these folks. If you take your Bibles and open to Psalm chapter 119. Verse 17. I'm just going to read this portion of Scripture to get us kicked off tonight. Not ticked off, kicked off. All right, Psalm 119, starting at verse 17. And I'll read 17 through 24. All right, the word of the Lord says, "Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." May God bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for our time to study tonight your word. And I pray, as the psalmist wrote here, that you would, Lord, open our eyes that we may see wondrous things from your law tonight. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, first thing I want to do, I want to start off with a pop quizzy poo this evening. All right, for everybody. All right, so if you turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 25, and if you'll look, find verse 13, then we're going to jump over to Jeremiah chapter 52. If you're visiting with us tonight, we're kind of in a study, an overview study of the Bible, where we're beginning to focus on some certain aspects of the Old Testament in particular right now, really that will lend itself to helping us understand the Old Testament. Because it can be intimidating. 929 chapters in the Old Testament. How many books are in the Old Testament? 39 books in the Old Testament. So the New Testament has 260 chapters. How many books? 27, that's right. So a total of how many books in the Bible? Good, 66 books in the Bible. So 1,189 chapters. So if you can start breaking this stuff down and understand it a little bit in various areas, that helps with your really piecing the Bible together, connecting the dots. Here in 2 Kings 25, let's just read a few verses beginning at verse 13. It says, the bronze pillars that were in the house of the Lord, and the carts and the bronze sea that were in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans. Now, the Chaldeans is another name for what people? Babylonians, right. The Babylonians broke in pieces and carried their bronze to Babylon. They also took away the pots, the shovels, the trimmers, the spoons, and all the bronze utensils with which the priests ministered. The fire pans and the basins, the things of solid gold and solid silver, the captain of the guard took away. The two pillars, one sea, and the carts which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the bronze of all these articles was beyond measure. The height of one pillar was 18 cubits. And we'll stop right there. Now, if you'll go over to Jeremiah chapter 52. Jeremiah 52, and then if you could locate Verse 17. Jeremiah 52, verse 17. Not there, the word of the Lord says, the bronze pillars that were in the house of the Lord, and the carts and the bronze sea that were in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried all their bronze to Babylon. They also took away the pots, the shovels, the trimmers, the bowls, the spoons, and all the bronze utensils with which the priests ministered. The basins, the fire pans, the bowls, the pots, the lampstands, the spoons, and the cups. Whatever was solid gold, whatever was solid silver, the captain of the guard took away. And then the two pillars, one sea, and the 12 bronze bulls, so forth. All right, now, here's the question that I have that is our pop quiz. Where does this show up later on in the Bible? These articles that were carried away from the house of God to Babylon, when does this appear again in the Bible? When do these appear again in the Bible? All right, good. David, what else can you tell us about that? Daniel? All right. What chapter in Daniel? Because there's 12 of them in Daniel. Chapter 5. All right, good. Let's flip over there and take a look at it. Now, you'll notice that Jeremiah and 2 Kings said the same thing. And that means that Jeremiah and 2 Kings were the same event. Jeremiah was there when 2 Kings was happening. So to understand the Old Testament, it's important to understand that prophet who comes way later in the English Bible, he was there in 2 Kings. So in Daniel chapter 5, let's read a few verses. Belshazzar, verse 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubine drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, you notice in verse 5, you may have heard this story before, as they are using those vessels to worship these various gods. In verse 5, in the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened, and his knees knocked together against each other. Reminds me of Scooby-Doo right there. All right, so then, that's the answer to the question. Where does it appear again? It appears in Daniel chapter 5. When is this? This is some 70 years later that these vessels are brought out of storage and they're used to worship these various gods. And you'll also note here in Daniel chapter 5, at the very end of it, verses 30 and 31, after Daniel has interpreted the handwriting on the wall, in verse 30 and 31 of Daniel 5, it says, that very night Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. All right, so when Darius the Mede comes in and conquers Babylon, that's the end of Babylon, if you will, and the Medes and the Persians take over. And now, this is getting into our next lesson some, that we're not going to go any further. This is when there begins to be people put in place that are actually going to send the Israelites back to Jerusalem. All right, but we'll stop right there. That very night, though, is when the Babylonian kingdom, if you will, ended. Now, here's the next question for you all. I got some question marks up here on the board. First of all, let's go to this one. If you go and think about Israel being destroyed by the Assyrians, does anybody remember? Well, let's go to this one first. Solomon and the kingdom being divided. In what chapter in 1 Kings is a key chapter where Solomon is called out for his sin and he is told that the kingdom is going to be separated from him? Anybody remember what chapter that was in 1 Kings? Caleb? Joshua? Joshua? Chapter 11. Good. All right, so we're going to write that in here. Chapter 11. I'll jump over to this side. Now, let's go to the next one. Right here, where Israel is destroyed. Remember, Israel is the northern kingdom. Israel is destroyed by Assyria. What key chapter can we look to find where that occurred historically? Hold on. All right, good. Dennis, you didn't raise your hand, but I'll take that answer anyways. All right, 17. Okay, now, let's go here to what we were just reading about, all right, in part, where Babylon came in and destroyed the city, Jerusalem, and the temple, and carried away the articles. There are three deportations that occurred. Well, let's get this date. What date was this in 2 Kings 17 when that happened? Jackson? 722. All right, good. Let's get these top dates done. That way, that'll be out of the way. What was the first deportation? What year did that occur? Emily, is that a hand that you're raising or not? All right. What's 605? Good. Okay. What was the second one that occurred? Kaylee? 597. Okay. And then the last one where all of that destruction that we were just reading about took place. Jacinda? 586. Good. All right. Now, what chapters would we turn to in 2 Kings to read about this occurring? Caleb? Okay. Chapter 25. I said chapters, so we're looking for more than one chapter out there. You're right about chapter 25. It would also be chapter 24 to go along with that. So 24 and 25 is what we want to write down right there. 2 Kings 24 and 25. Okay, now, let's go right here and fill in this blank. How many years, okay, they were, Lillian, I'm going to let you answer this question. They were carried off captive to Babylon. All right, now how many years were they there? Lillian, you don't have that one? You don't want that? You know it. Joy, 70, right? Sorry, Lillian, I shouldn't have called your name. All right, 70 years. Now, here's the question. Why 70 years? Is that just random? God just think that was a good idea? Andrew? Okay, so Andrew just said the 70 years is because of it was 1 year for every Sabbath year that they had missed or that they did not observe. And how often were the Sabbath years to be observed? All right. Who said that, David? Every 7 years. So if you take 7 times 70, how many years are we covering there with that? Dennis, thanks for raising that hand, Dennis. Good job. 490. 490 years, apparently, that the people of Israel had not observed the seventh Sabbath year. Now, what does that tell us about them as a nation? If they were not willing to obey God and observe that seventh Sabbath year, that means they don't plant any crops, but they trust the Lord to provide for them from the fields. What does that indicate about them? Distrust. Good. Now, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. This is going to lead us into answering that question that I asked last week, and really the week before that, about how long of an advance notice did they have that these things were going to occur? How much of an advance notice did they have? So if you'll turn here to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and we'll read just about three verses here. 2 Chronicles 36. All right. Verse 19. If you've got it, would you say amen? Amen. All right. It says, "Then they burned the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia." Now notice that right there. Until the rule of the kingdom of Persia. Then in verse 21, why did this happen? "To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Okay? So where do we get that from? We get it right here from the scriptures as to why they were 70 years in Babylon. Jeremiah had previously spoken about this. Actually, if you flip back, I'm sorry, I keep thinking we're in Jeremiah when we're in 2 Chronicles. I'm not going to have you turn there. But in Jeremiah 29, he wrote a letter to the captives in Babylon, and he told them, "You're going to be here for 70 years. Okay? So Jeremiah, I think, actually more than once mentions 70 years. And now it's brought up here in 2 Chronicles. So that's the reason. Now, was there any forewarning to this, that this was going to occur? If you'll take your Bibles now, does anybody see a cross reference that tells you where it is? Anybody see a cross reference in your Bibles that might tell you where it's located? Or maybe you know right off the top of your head. All right, good. Leviticus 26, so let's turn there. So in Leviticus 26, we see it mentioned twice here in Leviticus 26. Now let's do a little math. When would this have been given? Who was a really important person during the time of the Exodus from Egypt, and he received the law from God and then gave it to the people? Zayden? Moses, all right? So does anybody remember what year Moses lived? What year did Moses live? Larry? All right, so we got Moses. What'd you say? Yep, we got him in 1400. All right, and I think we might have hit this at the end of last week. What year, again, did the captivities begin to occur? We got it up there on the board. When did the final destruction occur? 586. All right, so 586. I'm not about to do this math in front of y'all. Let's see. 914 years. Hope that's right. All right, so Moses lived in 1400. Is it 800? Thanks. I wasn't sure about it. A lot of pressure on me. 814 years. So you got 1400 minus 586. That's 814 years before 586 occurs that God had already told them, hey, this is what's going to happen. Now let's look at the passage, because we know this was during Moses' time. All right, in verse 34, then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate, and you are in the enemy's land. Then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest. For the time it did not rest on your Sabbaths when you dwelt in it. And then you go to verse 43. Bible says, the land also shall be left empty by them and will enjoy its Sabbaths while it lies desolate without them. They will accept their guilt because they despised my judgments and because their soul abhorred my statutes. All right, so right there, you're starting to connect the Bible together here when you see this warning written in the law in Leviticus 26, and then you see 2 Chronicles say that, hey, that there is 70 years because they had not observed the Sabbath year for those 490 years, so therefore that's why it's 70 years of captivity. Not just a random number, God was keeping up with that. He was keeping track. And that's why they were there. Does anybody have any questions about that? Or is there anything I'm missing on that aspect of it? All right, so they have 814 or so years, 800 years to heed this. Here's what I'd like to do and point out to you is that Leviticus 26, and if you'll keep one finger there and then take your other and go to Deuteronomy chapter, does anybody know what I'm about to say? Deuteronomy chapter 28. Is that what you said? Deuteronomy 28. That's one of those chapters that you got to have brain marked in your head. It's very important. So Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 are very similar to one another. They both have, in the first several verses, they have blessings that are promised to the people. And then the majority of the chapter, after those blessings that are promised, they have curses that are promised to the people if they obey the Lord. You might have a title like in Leviticus 26 where it says promise of blessing and retribution. In other words, God will take vengeance upon them if they do not obey Him. All right, so these two chapters are very similar to one another, and these two chapters really are foundational for what the prophets would do later on. Because the Bible talks about several times in the book of Jeremiah in particular, probably close to 10 times in the book of Jeremiah, God would say something like, He rose up early and sent His prophets. And He, at least twice in Jeremiah, says, from the time that they were brought out of Egypt, God has been rising up early and sending His prophets to warn them of the judgment that will come upon them if they do not obey Him. And the reason God could do that was because He clearly laid it out in Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, that, hey, this is what's going to happen if you don't obey. Let's take a look at this. Leviticus 26. Let's read a few verses. I'll give you a taste of it. Again, keep your hands in both places, and we'll kind of flip back and forth. First part of Leviticus 26. You shall not make idols for yourselves, neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Goes on in verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing floor shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. All right, if you would, I'll just stop there for no particular reason. But if you'll go over to verse 28, chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, we'll get a taste of this. Deuteronomy 28. Okay, another little quiz for you. Leviticus 26. Who would that have been given to? John, what did you say? The Israelites who left Egypt. Okay, now, Deuteronomy 28, who would this have been given to? Dennis? All right, good. So you said the Israelites' descendants after the wandering of 40 years. So here it is, like Jonah said, and then Dennis, Leviticus 26 was given to the first generation that came out of Egypt. Deuteronomy 28 was given to the second generation. In other words, it's all their little kids that they thought were going to die if they went into the promised land and fought those Anakim, those giants. If we take them in there, they're going to die. Well, those little kids grew up. Mom and daddy died. And then those little kids are the ones who went into the promised land as adults now. And that's why Deuteronomy is given. It is a second giving of the law. It's given to the generation that grew up during those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And that's why you see Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28 are pretty similar. That's why you see Exodus 20, the giving of the Ten Commandments, and then Deuteronomy 5, the giving of the commandments again, the Ten Commandments. All right, so Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you, to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Verse 8. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Verse 9. The Lord will bless you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. And it goes on from there. I'll stop there for no particular reason. You see the promise of blessings found in the first part of Deuteronomy. Now, if you'll go back to Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26, verse 14. And we'll just kind of scan this and then try to go over to chapter 28 and do the same thing. Leviticus 26. You'll notice how he starts in verse 14. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. And then there's a list here. And basically, the first part of this is the exact opposite, or much of it is the opposite of what he just said in the blessings, in the early part of it. I will appoint over you terror, or appoint terror over you, verse 16, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And then he goes on from there. If you'll look at verse 18, you notice how chapter 26 is laid out. He says, after all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. Then if you'll go to verse 21, then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you seven times more plagues according to your sins. Verse 23, and if by these things you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet seven times more, or seven times for your sins. Then if you go down to verse 27, and after all this, if you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you seven times more for your sins. Notice what he says in verse 29. You see how the judgment is increasing here. But he says, you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and you shall eat the flesh of your daughters. All right, then if you'll go over well, we can stop there because we've already looked at the passages that have to do with the Sabbaths and why God would bring judgment upon them the way that he would. But this increases. God's not a God who just flies off the handle and at all. But how many years did he warn them? How many years advance warning did he give them? Dennis? Well, that was for how many years they did not observe the Sabbath. Zayden? 814. So 800 years, yeah. 800 years advance warning that he gave them. But you can see this in the Old Testament, in the Kings, how they forgot that, rejected that. Let's jump over to chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. Does anybody have any questions right now? Anybody have any questions about what we've gone over so far? Corrections? Okay. So now, chapter 28, you see that this is really dense stuff right here. This is some pretty thick stuff. The curses begin in verse 15, where he says, Deuteronomy 28:15, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. I'll stop there because you can see how that is the opposite. Then if you go to verse 41 in Deuteronomy 28. Here, like Leviticus 26, though we didn't read it, there's warning of captivity. We read that in the Sabbath passages earlier. Verse 41. In Deuteronomy 28, he says, you shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. And that is exactly what would occur. Verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. and they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and on your descendants forever. Verse 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart in the abundance of everything. Verse 48, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything, and he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. And so from there, the promise continues, and also all that's going to happen, some pretty grotesque stuff in chapter 28 that is talked about, referenced in Lamentations, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. You remember we talked about that in Leviticus 26 about them eating each other's flesh? Okay, that happened. You can turn to Lamentations 2:20, Lamentations 4, verse 10. And that's after it had happened. Jeremiah recorded it. Jeremiah 19:9 references this. Ezekiel 5, verse 10 references this. And he told them 800 years in advance. He tells them again in chapter 28, verses 53 and following, that that's going to happen. And then it did. So you see how when you're reading the Bible and you understand these things, you can see how it begins to fit together. There's not just something random over in Ezekiel that you're reading. You're like, whoa, they ate each other. That's really weird. Why did they do that? All right, he told them. Why did they do that? It's because a siege had been set up against the city and they had nothing to eat. And then those things began to unfold. All right, so that pretty well covers that. I hope that this gives some context to God's judgment that he brought upon Israel here and in this 70 years of captivity. That gives context to it because we know what was happening during that time, and then we know that it wasn't a random event, but that God warned them many centuries in advance. I'd like to ask you, if you would, to turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. As I conclude, you know, we think about these Israelites and, man, they how could they do that? How could they forget God? How could they cast his law behind their backs? And the Bible says that they did even worse than the nations that were before them. And that was pretty bad. And we can begin to maybe cast stones at them. But let's remember what the Bible says about us and our lost condition before Christ saves us, before God did something about it. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and following, we'll notice that the Bible says four things about our condition here. We're without strength. This is the first one, verse 6. And let's see if y'all can spot the other ones. The first one in chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. All right, so we're without strength. What's the other thing from this verse that we see about our condition? We are what? Ungodly. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What's our third, what's the third description of us in this passage? Sinners, right. So far we're without strength, we're ungodly, and we're sinners. Verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What's the fourth characteristic we have? Enemies. We're without strength, we are ungodly, we are sinners, and we are enemies. Verse 11. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. See, Jesus was a descendant of these Israelites who were so rebellious in the Old Testament. God did preserve them. And through them, Christ came. And even though we as the world had gone astray, the Bible tells us, each one, we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. But the Bible says, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the way that, you know, even though we're just as sinful as those Israelites, we can be saved. We can be a child of God. We can be forgiven. We can be justified. We can be right with God, believe it or not, through faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Bible says in Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, do you have peace with God? If you do, the only reason you can have that is because you have faith in Jesus Christ. If anyone doesn't have faith in Christ tonight, but you want to learn more about that, or you want to tonight confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you believe in Him, come to me and I'd love to talk to you about that this evening. The invitation is always open. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, I thank you for your word. Give us grace tonight, Father, to comprehend as much of it as you want us to tonight. Father, we as a church are committed to your word, to the Holy Scriptures. We want to teach the whole counsel of God. And I pray, Lord, that little by little as we teach your word, that you'd give us all the ability as a church to understand individually, to understand and to just grow more and more in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.